There were two men who were out backpacking. And all of a sudden, one of them looked up and saw a grizzly bear charging them. He yelled and grabbed some tennis shoes out of his backpack and began putting them on as quickly as he could. His friend heard him yell, looked and saw the bear, and then noticed that he was putting on his tennis shoes and says, "Hey, don't you know you can't outrun a grizzly bear?" And his friend said, "I don't have to outrun a grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you." The point of that is, it can be really hard to find some good friends. Sometimes what we think may be good friends will betray us. The lesson tonight, I want to talk about choosing friends, which can be one of the hardest things that we do, especially when we are young. First thing I want to do is talk about four different types of friends. And the first one I want to talk about are those that oftentimes we call acquaintances. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 7 and verse 34. Luke chapter 7 and verse 34. And here Jesus was at a house and he was eating with sinners. And verse 34, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" And whether or not this assertion made by those who were there would be true, that these were sinners or not, is perhaps left to question. But I want us to realize that not everyone that we have as a friend is a Christian. That indeed we may have some friends who are not Christians and are sinners. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. Hear from the words of Jesus upon this occasion. It seems that indeed Jesus was here with sinners. And verse 10, "Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples." And so here the Bible makes it very clear that there were sinners here. "When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners?' But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means: I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" Remember in Luke chapter 7 and verse 34, the word friends was used. Jesus did have some friends. It appears certainly from Luke chapter 7 verse 34, we would call these acquaintances, and these were not those who were right with God. These were not godly individuals, but these were sinners. And the point is that we will have some friends who are not Christians, some who are sinners, and this simply means, as is defined in this way, one that is of the same nation, party, or group. So in this way, the people that we work with, they can be our friends, just be an acquaintance. Those at school, everyone at school can be our friend. Now that is to mean just an acquaintance. But we move beyond that, and we see also that a friend is someone who is friendly. This is more than an acquaintance. This is one who is not hostile. And I want to look at a few passages with this. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. And let's understand that Christians want to be friendly toward everyone. Christians want to be friends with everybody. Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." As Christians, we want to make peace with everyone. We want to be their friend. Here, this means one who is not hostile. Look at verse 25 with me for just a moment. Here Jesus says, "Make friends quickly with your opponent at law." Here he's saying, make friends with your opponent. Here is one that the two were being hostile toward one another, and Jesus says, make friends with this person. I want us to realize that as Christians, we want to be friends with everybody. Turn your Bibles with me over at Romans chapter 12. And Paul tells us that we are to be at peace with all men as much as depends upon us. So this is the point. We want to be friends with everyone unless they are hostile towards us and they refuse to be friends. Look at verse 17, Romans 12, verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now let me give you some examples of this. Here are some examples where individuals are a little bit more than just being acquaintances, just passing. But these individuals are not companions and they're not best friends. They are somewhere in the middle there. Here is a story of Jesse Owens, the 1936 Olympics. And Jesse Owens was one who did the long jump, and he had just before the Olympics set a record of 26 feet, 8 1/4 inches. That record stood for 25 years. But he was worried about the Olympics. And he was intimidated by a German man who was named Lutz Long. And this was at the time when they were in Germany and there were the Nazis there and Hitler was there. And this idea of Aryan superiority was going about. And so Jesse Owens, being an African-American, he was sort of intimidated and he was worried about this. Lutz Long, the German, comes up to him and says, "You should be able to qualify with your eyes closed." Well, this encouraged Jesse Owens. And so he made this suggestion. "To qualify, all you need is 23 feet, 5 1/2 inches. Why don't you just pretend like the line is back this way a little bit and then jump? You'll have plenty of extra room and you'll qualify with no problems." Jesse Owens took that advice and he went on to win the Olympics that year. The first person to come up and to congratulate him was the German Lutz Long in front of Hitler himself. Owens never saw Lutz Long again. Lutz Long was killed in World War II. But this is what Jesse Owens said about him. "You could melt down all the medals and cups I have, and they wouldn't be a plating on the 24-karat friendship I felt from Lutz Long." Now, these individuals were a little bit more than acquaintances. But they were not companions. They didn't spend time together. They didn't do a lot of things together. They were competing against one another, and they certainly weren't best friends. They were friendly towards one another. They were not hostile toward one another. And as Christians, we strive to be friendly toward everyone. We want everybody to be our friend. Here is another story as I want to impress this upon us tonight. This is a story about Thomas Jefferson. He and some companions were on a trip, and they came to a river that was flooded and its banks were overflowing. One at a time, on horseback, they crossed this flooded river. There was a man standing nearby, and he watched them one at a time go across the river, and the horses struggled to make it across. Finally, he asked this man who was about to go over, he said, "Can you take me over?" And he says, "Well, sure I can. Jump on." The man climbed on the horse, and shortly thereafter, they made it safely to the other side. The stranger slid off the back of the horse onto dry ground, and one person in the group asked, "Tell me, why did you select the president, Thomas Jefferson, to ask this favor?" The man was shocked, admitting that he didn't know it was the president. He said this, "All I know is that on some of your faces was written the answer no, and on some of them was the answer yes." His was a yes face. We as Christians, we want to be friends with everyone. We're not necessarily going to be companions with everyone. We're not necessarily going to be best friends with everyone. But yet we do want to be friendly toward each and every person. The third type of friend I want to talk about is a companion. A companion is one with whom we keep company. In other words, in our vernacular, it's one with whom we hang out. We spend time with these individuals. Turn your Bibles with me over to Mark chapter 2. I want to give two examples very quickly. The first one is of David before becoming king. Mark chapter 2. And you remember that for a period of time he was out in the wilderness and he had his men, and they were going about doing various things. And in Mark chapter 2 and verse 25, and Jesus is using David as an example, having been accused of breaking the Sabbath law. He says, "Have you never read that David, what David did when he was in need, and he and his companions became hungry?" Now, the details of the story are not what we're looking for tonight. The point is that David was with his companions. And remember the story. These are people he was living with and he was working with. These individuals were his companions. They were spending a great deal of time together. They were more than hanging out. They were living together. Now, turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 4. Let me give you another example. Acts chapter 4. Because this is very, very important when we talk about choosing friends, and we'll make some more points about that as we continue on. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Here are the apostles. They had been threatened not to preach any longer in the name of Jesus Christ. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Notice that they went to their companions. These are people that they spent time with, they hung out with, the people that encouraged them, the people that influenced them. These were special people in their life. Go over also to Acts chapter 19 and verse 29. Acts chapter 19 and verse 29. Here is the Apostle Paul. Verse 29. "The city was filled with a confusion, and they rushed with one accord, into the theater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia." These were individuals that the Apostle Paul traveled with, he lived with, he worked with, and I think we can conclude that he worshiped with. These are people that he spent a lot of time with. These were his companions. There was a British publication some years ago that offered a prize for defining a friend. What is a friend? The winning definition read, "A friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out." These are our companions. They are the people who are with us in thick and thin. These are the people that we spend time with, that we oftentimes work with, or we worship with, or we travel with, or we live with, we hang out with. These are our companions. Companions are people who lift us up and do not tear us down. Let me read for you three scriptures very quickly. Psalms 55:13. "But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend." These are more than acquaintances. These are more than someone we just do something nice for passing, as was Luz Long to Jesse Owens. These are people that we spend time with, that we know very well. Psalms 119 and verse 63. "I am a companion of all those who fear you," that's speaking of God, "and of those who keep your precepts." And we'll get more to this point just a little bit later. But these are people who are good, moral people who influence us for good. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Get that. The companion of fools will suffer harm. This reminds us of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, as we've already read tonight. "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Here with companions, we must be very careful who we select to spend time with, to be that person that is special, not to be just a friend who is an acquaintance, not to be something who's passing, that we do something nice for them, they do something nice for us, and we rarely see them again. But these are people we spend time with. And we must be very careful whom we choose to be those people. Well, let's talk about one more. And these are our close friends. We may say that these are our best friends. Let me read two scriptures for you. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. That's what we're talking about. Those who are intimate. These, as defined by Webster's, are those who are attached to one another by affection or esteem. These are very close friends. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. These are those individuals we're very close to that we love more than just being an acquaintance, more than being just something passing by we do something good for, more than just being a companion, someone we hang out with. These are people who we bear our soul, that we tell our deepest thoughts to, our very best friends. Jesus, I believe, is an example of this. Remember Lazarus. Lazarus was a close personal friend of Jesus. His sisters, Mary and Martha, they were close friends. As we read through the Bible, we can't help but get an idea that these individuals were very, very close to Jesus, that he spent time with them. Remember also the apostles. The apostles were friends of Jesus. Even Judas, remember Matthew chapter 26 and verse 50. When Judas comes to betray Jesus, what does Jesus say? He addresses him like this, "Friend." So Judas was a friend of Jesus. But he was not a friend as some of the other apostles were. Remember Peter, James, and John. They had a special relationship with Jesus. They went with him upon the mountain of transfiguration. They went into the garden with him, and then a little further as the other apostles stayed behind. And there was one of these who seemed to be more special than all the others, and that was John. John is the one. In the Gospel of John, he is the one, it says, whom the Lord loved. He is the one, it's recorded two times in the Bible, at supper, lay on the Lord's breast. These were special friends to Jesus. Let me suggest to you that these special friends are the friends that we can trust with our lives. They are the friends that will do anything for us that we need. These are the friends that will die for us. Sam David was a Confederate spy, and he was executed at Pulaski, Tennessee. He was captured by the Union Army. He had some papers that were vitally important. After examination, the officer in charge knew that he had to have an accomplice. He was court-martialed. He was led out to the firing squad. He was blindfolded. Then the officer in charge decided to make a deal with him. He said this, "If you will give us the name of the man who furnished you this information, you may go free." Sam Davis said this without any hesitation, "If I had 1,000 lives, I would give them all before I would betray a friend." This is a close friend. This is an intimate friend. And the best friend of all that all of us have is who? Jesus Christ. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. These are the friends that we can entrust with our lives. These are the individuals that I would trust with my children to make the right decision, to put them in their care, that whatever decision they made, I knew it would be the best that anyone could make, even myself. I trust these individuals with my life, my children's life. These are true friends. You know that they will never let you down, that they will do the absolutely best that they can do, and they will even give of themselves so that you prosper. Now, we need to talk about just a moment in the church. In the church, we are all friends together. As a matter of fact, the saints in the Bible, they're called the friends. We are friends together, but we do have friends within the church that are closer to us for many reasons. One of which may be that they're family. Another may be that our personalities are more compatible. But we must be careful not to limit ourselves to our closest friends. And I have to be careful about this constantly. That we do not limit ourselves just with our family or just with our friends in the church, but that we spread ourselves out to be friends with all the brethren and to get to know all of those of our congregation. There are some things to watch out for. Limiting ourselves outside of church, mostly with family or our closest friends, and not spending much time with other brethren, we need to watch out for that. For example, spending Sunday afternoons with our closest friends or our family repeatedly for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and not broadening ourselves out to other brethren, we need to watch out for that. Before or after church, talking mostly to our family or mostly to our closest friends, we have to watch out for that. I know when we go and visit family, I love to stand at church and talk with my family, and I see how that could be something that could cause me a problem if I went to church with my family all the time, because I like my family. I want to be with my family. I want to talk to my brother and my sister and my parents, but I have to be careful to branch out and not limit myself just to my family or my closest friends. And we must be careful to aggressively bring in other brethren to our group. It's not true, I don't believe, of this congregation, but of some it is true, that they're cliquish. You go to a congregation that's mostly family, it's hard for a newcomer to get into that congregation and to feel a part of that congregation, because you got family wanting to be with family and not wanting to bring other people. Well, they want to bring other people in, but they don't do the work to bring other people in. So we have to be very careful, and we must be aggressive to bring other people into our group and not be cliquish in respect to family or our closest friends. Now let's talk about something for a moment. Let me set forth this idea that choosing friends or picking friends, this is a very common phrase in our vernacular. It's not so much about choosing our friends or picking our friends. It's more about categorizing our friends. You see, because as Christians, we want everyone to be our friend. We don't want anyone to be excluded. We want to be friendly to everyone, and we want everyone to be friendly toward us. So we need to therefore categorize our friends more than choose them or pick them. Acquaintances, we want that to be everyone that we know. We want that to be everyone in the neighborhood. We want that to be everyone at work. We want that to be everyone at school. We want that to be everybody that we know. But friendly people, we want that's everybody that's not hostile toward us. As long as they're not hostile toward us, well, then we're going to be a friend to them and they can be a friend to us. That's very broad. But now with companions, things change just a little bit. Remember the scriptures that we talked about. These are people who are going to be good moral people who have a positive influence on us. They're not going to be like a lot of other people who are in the world. They may be doing a lot of other things. We don't approve of that, and we certainly do not engage in that with them. We don't condone that, and we tell them that, you know, we don't approve of that, and we're not going to be participating with that. Our companions are the ones that we hang out with. They are the ones that we spend time with. And these individuals must be a positive influence in our lives. Our close friends and our best friends are those whom we love. And are probably going to be very few of those individuals that we have such a relationship as that. Well, now I want to talk just a little bit about moving individuals from category to category. And you know, everybody, pretty much everybody starts out in this first category. At least we want them to. And really we want them all to go to the next category. We want everybody to be friendly toward us because we want to be friendly toward them, but there are going to be some who are hostile and they don't want to be in that category. If they just want to be acquaintances and have no relationship past that, that's fine. We can't go beyond that. That's up to them to take it to the next level, because as a Christian, we're at peace with all as much as depends on us. So it's up to them to take it to that second level. Then there are going to be some in these very large categories that are going to be this positive influence. What happens is if one of these companions who's a positive influence, what happens if they start dealing with things that they shouldn't be doing and involved in things? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to move them to a different category because they cannot no longer be our companions. What if one of our individuals in the second category, he's friendly now, but he becomes hostile tomorrow? What are we going to do? We're going to move him into a different category because he's chosen not to be friendly. And then our closer, our best friends. Those who are this positive influence. From this third category, there will be a few of these companions who become very, very close to us. And then they become our best friends. But I want to talk about just for a moment that God factors into these decisions. And then I'm going to make some more application as I bring up the past chart once again. Turn your Bibles with me to James chapter 2. We're going to look at chapter 2 and chapter 3 for just a moment. We must take into consideration when categorizing our friends, we must take into consideration what God says. In James chapter 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I want you to notice what it means to be a friend of God, this one who believes in God. And we go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is one who believes in God and is moved to obedience. That is what it means to be a friend of God. Now look at chapter 4 and verse 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, the first thing I want us to realize is that our best friend is who? Is God. That is our best friend. So when we talk about these categories, when we talk about categorizing friends, the first one in that fourth category is God. And it is Jesus. Now let me ask you this. Can we be best friends with people who aren't friends with God? Now let me repeat that. Can we be best friends with someone who is not friends with God? Think about that. I think the answer is no. Not when you get down to truly what a best friend is. Can we be companions? I believe that we can. They're a positive influence upon us. They're not hindering us from worshiping God. We spend time with them. We work with them. We do things with them. We go to the movies with them. We have recreation with them. They're not doing anything immoral. They're encouraging us. We're encouraging them. And I believe we can be companions. But to be the best friend, the closest friend, that we bear our souls to them and they to us, I believe you would be hard-pressed to say that you can be best friends with someone who is not a Christian. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is why it is so important whom we choose to marry. I believe it's this. I could be best friends with my wife if she were not a Christian. There would be something that separated us, that stood between us. There would be something we could not share in our lives because she was not a Christian. And the thing that we could not share would be the most important thing to me. And therefore, there would be this wall, this barrier between us as long as one of us was not a Christian. Verse 14, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Get that. Do not be bound together. Is that, it seems to me, in one way saying, don't be best friends. Don't be those two who are bound at the hip. Don't be like David and Jonathan. What else does it say? Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What partnership do friends have if one is lawless, if one is not a Christian? The answer to that, of course, is they don't have any. Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? You see, there is a difference there. That's keeping us from being absolutely the closest that we can be. When one is not a Christian, there's a barrier there. You cannot be the closest that two people can possibly be. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Timothy 2. This is one verse we read in our scripture reading tonight. And I want to point this out. As we also saw this when we were talking about peer pressure, in our last lesson in this series, verse 22. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So who has to be our best friends? We are fleeing from lust. We are running away from lust, those negative influences. Who has to be our best friend? It has to be a Christian. It has to be. A Christian. those who are pursuing these things. And don't forget, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. An immoral person can be an acquaintance. An immoral person can be friendly toward us, and we can be friendly toward them. But let me suggest to you that an immoral person cannot be a companion and cannot be a best friend. Let me suggest to you this also. We must work to have Christian friends. Just like in a marriage, it takes work. It takes work on both parties to build that relationship and to maintain that relationship. And we need to do the exact same thing as Christians with one another. And parents, we have a responsibility. And I underscore responsibility to make sure that our children have an opportunity to have friends who are Christians. Sometimes we talk about in the church why the young people are leaving, why they're falling away. And I believe in part it's because of irresponsible parents and brethren in the congregation where they worship. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. We must realize that some people aren't going to want to be friends with us. They're not going to want to be companions. They're not going to want to be our best friend. Luke chapter 21 and beginning of verse 16. Jesus says, but you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. Get that. And they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Yes, there are going to be some friends who don't want to have anything to do with it. And this is the most difficult thing, or one of the most difficult things, for those who are converted to Christ, because they must leave, most of the time, all of their friends, all of the people that they are closest to. Some must leave the relationship that they have with their parents. Some parents disown children. Friends don't want to have anything to do anymore with these people who are Christians because they don't want to cuss anymore, they don't want to go drinking anymore, they don't want to go carousing anymore, they don't want to do all these things. And so darkness hates the light, and so they don't want to be friends anymore. And brethren, we need to realize this, that when someone is converted to Christ, oftentimes, what they need from us is a friend, because all their friends have just left them. So let's get back to categorizing these friends just a little bit. Acquaintances. We want everybody to be an acquaintance. We want everybody to be friendly to us, and we want to be friendly to others. Some of these are going to be Christians, but not all of them. Companions, those we keep company with. We want to be positive, moral people. And you could press this point, and that's perfectly fine. If you want to press this point to be a companion, I insist that it be a Christian. And I think that would be something good. I remember at one point in my life when I was dating, I got tired of dating those who weren't Christians. I put my foot down and said, I'm not going to date another girl that's not a Christian. Close friends, God, Jesus, top of the list. And think about this. Is God and Jesus at the top of your list? The very top of your list? Now, you may look at this a little bit differently than I have tonight, and that's fine. Your categorization may be a little bit different than mine tonight, but I'll just tell you where mine is at right now. To be that close best friend, that person must be a Christian. Must be a Christian. Picking the right friend is really about putting people in the right category. And think about that. Dwell upon that. Spend some time with that. That picking friends is really about putting people in the right category. Because we want everybody to be in a category. We want everybody to be at least in the second category. But those who move up into the third category of being companions and those who move up beyond that. In part, that's up to them. Number one, what's their relationship with God? And number two, what's our relationship together? The most important friend you have is God and Jesus. Think about that. And take that with you tonight. If you have a best friend who's not a Christian, who rejects God, what does God think about that? Well, the lesson is yours. We're going to offer the invitation. 280. I have decided to follow Jesus. And deciding to follow Jesus, that's with everything. That's even with the friends that we pick. That's even with how we categorize our friends. Think about how you've categorized your friends. If you're not a Christian tonight, I wish you'd think about that. We want you to become a Christian. And our lesson that we had this morning, talking about heaven and talking about hell, we don't want anybody here to be cast into the lake of fire, outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. We want everyone to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." If the Lord came back tonight, or if you died, which would it be for you? If you're not a Christian tonight, won't you step to the front now so that we can assist you in becoming one? That's what we stand and sing.